If you would stand with me while we read the Word of God together, then we're going to turn over to the book of Matthew after we read these verses before we pray this morning. While you're turning there, while you're getting ready there, the book of Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul because the church was under attack by what's called legalistic Judaizers, and they were men who had kind of heard the gospel and trusted the gospel, but they couldn't leave it alone. They had to come and manufacture how God was going to use the gospel in people's lives and things. So they were in danger of falling away from the true gospel. The church in the world today is falling away from the pure gospel, or the true gospel. And so there is a need for laws and rules and things like that, but the law of Christ is the law of love and the law of mercy and the law of grace. And it's easy for us to become religious rather than true in our spirit, in a walking, ongoing relationship with the Lord. So I want to look at these verses this morning to kind of set the tone for us to turn over very quickly and read in the book of Matthew also. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, "For you are all the children of God," how? "By faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Now, if you'll turn over in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, look at verses 13 through 16. There Paul declared that we are all the same, we're all one in Christ. That being the truth, that being the fact of those who know Him, if you're here today and you know Christ, He lives in you and He's real. He's not just a pretend thing in your life where you're trying to live the Christian life without really knowing Him. That's what Paul said in Galatians. But here's what Jesus said, that you and I are to be who are children of His, children of God. And He says that there in the Sermon on the Mount, He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor or its flavor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." And then He says, "You are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel or cover it up, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men, in order that they may see your good works," and what? "And glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Let's bow for prayer as we come before Him today in this place. With every heart coming to be fully open before the Lord this morning, remember He is the audience and we are the one who comes before Him today. As we come to Him, would you ask Him this morning to open up your understanding of the words that we read? And the things that He wants to tell us and to share with us this morning, would you just ask God to help you to see and to understand and to know the truth, to know it in a way that it blesses your life, that it transforms you and changes you more into the likeness of the image of Jesus Christ. Father, in this place, we thank You that we're here, and we thank You, Father, that we have the freedom to come and to openly read Your Word together and to fellowship with one another. But, Father, most of all, that we have the freedom to come and worship You. We know that the world all around us hates You and is your enemy and tries to destroy the knowledge of who You are and what You've done. The world all around wants to separate us who are Your children from You and from Your Word and from Your truth. The world wants to diminish who we are in Christ. The world wants to diminish our lives and our spirituality. The world wants to separate us from you. Father, we're thankful that the promises of your word, that we can never be separated from you, and you can never be diminished in our hearts. So, Father, this morning we pray that your word would speak to us and fill us and create the thoughts and the thinking that we ought to have in our minds so that we may be more transformed into the likeness of your Son. Now we just ask that you bless this time this morning, bless the reading of your word, and we pray that you speak to our hearts, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Over the recent weeks, we have been looking at the power of the church, or what is a powerful church, and this is a very important thing, a very important thought for us. The world that we live in, as I've shared already, the world wants to diminish God, wants to diminish the truth, and wants to separate us from one another and separate us from what God would do in our lives. And so we've been looking at for the past few weeks what it is, what it means to be a part of a powerful church. Well, the first thing that we looked at was the message of the church. The gospel message of Jesus Christ is the message of God. It is the message of the ages. It is the message that was born in eternity past. It is actuated out in time and history and will be climaxed or culminated in eternity future. And so that's what life is really all about. It's about God created everything, and in the creation there was the fall. But God is redeeming his people who fell into sin. And that's what life is really all about in a nutshell. Now, there's a lot of other things going on, and those types of things are happening there. But God is the God of all existence and all time and all being. And so the message is his. And it's the gospel message, the message of his Son, Jesus Christ. It's the powerful message. It's the one and only message that is a powerful message that brings men and women, young people, it brings people to God on his terms. Now the world wants to escape that. The world wants to bypass that. The world wants to get around that. The world wants to make the rules. The world wants to tell God how it is. You've met those people. You try to talk to them and try to reach out to them and help them to understand the truth. And you'll hear things like this: "Well, I have my own belief." Or, "When I was young, I was baptized, and now I have my own belief." I've heard many people say those types of things. And in God's eyes, those words form the thought of the heart that's called idolatry, shaping and forming a God after our own liking. And so the message of the gospel is that God is holy and righteous, and you and I are sinners. We were born in our sins. We came by it honestly, so to speak. We came by it because we were born into that. It was our nature. And having heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ, God took away the old sin nature and created in you and me a new nature. And so we are in Christ. And that's what we read there in Galatians with what Paul had to say there in Galatians chapter 3. It says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And so that's our stance. That's where we're at. And he says in verse 28 that there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And so we're all on the same playing field, so to speak. We're all on the same level. We're all in the same relationship with God. And that's where we are. That's where we stand. Now, as we come back to Matthew, here we have in the life and the ministry of our Lord, there's a multitude around him. His disciples are also there. There's a multitude around him, and he preaches the greatest message ever preached, ever. And it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And we're bypassing the first several verses there, but coming to a place in verses 13, 14, 15, and 16, because there's something of very strong importance for you and me, for us to understand and know as we as Christians will serve the Lord, and as we make up the body of Christ, as we are the body of Christ here at First Baptist Church in Tallala, God has for you and me the purpose and a will. And if we understand who we are, what we are in Christ, and what He instructs of us and He teaches us and tells us, then we are more like Christ. We're more like Him. And there's where the power is. Its power is in being like Jesus Christ. And so let's look again now at chapter 5 of Matthew's gospel and verse 13. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." Now let's just stop there for just a moment and think about what He's saying here. There is a science of study. You know, all those ologies, there's osophies and ologies and theology and thinkology and all those things that we have in our lives. But there is a legitimate ology, and it's called ontology. And that comes from a word which means to be, or I am, referring back to the existence of God and the existence of things. And this science, or the scientific field of ontology, is the study of being. The study of being alive. And notice what Jesus, notice the words that He uses. He says here in verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, He doesn't say, "You must be the salt of the earth." He does not say, "You should be the salt of the earth." He doesn't even say, "You ought to be the salt of the earth." He makes the declaration to the people who know Him, and He says, "You are the salt of the earth." And so in this passage of Scripture, this verse and the verse 14, which says, "You are the light of the world," He uses these two metaphors to describe to His hearers, to His listeners, to teach them and tell them what they are in a relationship with God. And it's the same for you and me. We apply it to ourselves today. It's a metaphor to teach us who we are and what we are in Christ. So first of all, He says, "You are the salt of the earth." So we're likened unto salt. Well, salt's a pretty interesting subject. Anybody studied salt? Anybody? Bill? Anybody? Nobody. Well, I'm not an authority on it by any means, but let me just share a few differences that are out there. As you know, there's different kinds of salt. We have table salt. What kinds of table salt are there? Well, there's Morton's and all that other. There's regular salt, and then there's salt that is iodized. And that's refined salt. It's manufactured. I don't know the process or how it goes. May see that on TV someday, and we'll be a little smarter in that area. But that's not the point. There is another kind of salt that is unique, and I like its qualities a lot better than just ordinary salt there, and that is sea salt. Now, how many of you have heard of sea salt? Very good. Everyone's still awake, still with me. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you use sea salt? A percentage of that group. Well, let me just share some things with you, because there's an application to what Jesus is saying here to these people there that I want us to come into to understand. There are, let me ask one other question. This would be interesting. How many of you go to the store to buy your sea salt? Of those that you use it, raise your hand. Okay? Not as many hands. Let's find out where we're at here. Okay, if you buy sea salt but you don't buy it at the grocery store, raise your hand. Okay, there's one, and I'm raising my hand. That was two of us. Okay, there's two here. The rest of you are off. No. There is a difference, though, and this is the reason. There is a very important difference, and why I bring this up this morning, and why Jesus used this metaphor of salt. And that is, there in sea salt, they're not all created equal. The sea salt that you buy in the store, and this is not going to go over well with the people who manufacture it, refine it. Refined sea salt that you buy in the store has only one or two nutrients in it. Is that right? Would you agree with me, Sharon? So she's studied this, and she's going to be my authority. We'll agree on this here together. You get the benefit of sea salt for whatever there, But when you buy it in the store, it's a kind that's refined. And anything, if you study anything about food and grocery stores and all that, the more refined food is, the worse it is for us. And if you don't agree with that, we'll talk about and discuss that later. But there is a sea salt, there are probably more than one brand, but it's called Celtic sea salt. Is that the kind you use? Oh, see, we're on the same page. There's two of us that's going to get that this morning. Got one back there raising his hand every time I ask a question. This Celtic sea salt, and that's good. The Celtic sea salt is an unrefined natural salt, and it comes from the sea and however they make that and everything. But the difference is this. This sea salt has over 90 different nutrients in it. Nutritional minerals in the content of this Celtic sea salt that you cannot get in your vitamins and all this other place. It's loaded with it. And it's important for healthy life. And so if all salt is not the same, and all salt is not created equal. But there are some things about salt that we can say, and we'll look at that here in just a moment. So there are reasons that people have different kinds of salt. And now, with all that in mind, come back here to what Jesus said to these people, this multitude of people there. He says, "You are the salt of the earth." So with that in mind, we think about, there's all kinds of different salt, and you may be thinking, now, what if I got a change in my life and my diet and all that sort of thing? But notice what he says next. He says, but if the salt has lost his savor, his flavor, wherewith shall it be salted? Where's the flavor going to come from? Well, there's a quality of salt that maybe we don't think of. We read what Jesus said here, and we might overthink the situation altogether. And that. But here's a truth that you can think of concerning salt. Salt cannot lose its taste. Everybody got that? On the same page. Salt cannot lose its taste. But there is another situation concerning salt that can diminish its effectiveness. And Jesus is saying to these people there, says, you are the salt of the earth. You need to know who you are. You need to know who you are in Christ. You need to know who you are. You've come to listen to me. You've followed me. And I'm telling you today, as he spoke to them, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its flavor, what good is it? Where is its saltiness going to come from? Then he says, it's therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot of men. Salt, while it's true that salt cannot lose its flavor, other things can contaminate salt to where it cannot be effectively used. And that's one of the applications that we see from the words of our Lord as we read what he said here on the Sermon on the Mount on that day. Because Jesus, when he began, if you remember, what was the first words out of Jesus' mouth when he began his public ministry? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Later on, he said to some, he said, take up your cross daily and follow me. So Jesus said, to follow me, he said, to repent of your sins. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And now these kingdom followers, he says to them, you are the salt. In your person and who you are, and knowing God, you are the salt of the earth. God has you so that you may be an influence and you may affect the world. Now, some Bible scholars have said, and you might go this far, I don't say it's wrong, I wouldn't be real dogmatic on it, but it says, you and I using the metaphor of salt, we have the power, the ability, we have the message, we have the presence, we have the power of God to go and take the Word of God, the gospel to a world, to make the world acceptable to God. To make the world pleasing to the Lord. It pleases God when we go out and we tell someone about their life and about Him and about their sin and about the Savior. And it pleases the Lord. And when men and women hear that and they repent of their sins and they trust Christ and they turn with all of their hearts to following God and following Christ, they come to know Jesus Christ, they are well pleasing to God. They're well-pleasing to the Father. And so, in that sense, you and I can flavor the world for God's glory.
and for His sake. And so He says, you are the salt of the earth, but it comes with a warning. He says, but if the salt loses its flavor, then where's its power? Where's its ability? Well, the only thing you can do with it then is just to toss it out and to throw it out. So He's saying essentially, one of the things He's insinuating here essentially is that you must not lose your identity among the world. You know God, you know me, He says, you know Christ. We know Christ. We should not lose our identity in the world. Well, how do we do that? Well, just like salt loses its flavor. It doesn't change it. It doesn't diminish it. It's there. But when pollutants and impurities come into the presence of salt or in the presence of wherever that's found and contaminates it, well, then it's good. It's lost its usefulness. It's lost its ability to do what it should do, both in taste and also in nutrition. I didn't know this, but how many of you knew that salt is one of the ways that you use for fertilizer to fertilize soil? Did anybody know that? Three of us. I didn't know that. To return some of the nutrients and stuff to the soil. You don't want to pour a lot of salt because that's going to kill stuff. Yeah, that's probably why we think of that in those terms. But it's because of the nutritional value of that. And so here Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You ought to go out, and as you go out into the world and life, do not lose your identity for who you are, but let the power of God and the power of Christ in you and in your life, let it salt, let it flavor the world all around us. And that's part of the metaphor that's there. And if we allow the world to pollute our lives, if we allow the world to influence us and pollute our lives, then our effectiveness as a Christian is diminished. Well, so I'm not going to let anything pollute my life. I challenge everyone, myself included. Sometime today or this week, just sit down and think, or even just take a piece of paper and write down, what things have you allowed your eyes to watch on TV, movies, video games, magazines, other things? You see, we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We're to keep ourselves pure and uncontaminated from the influence of this life and of this world. And it's not that hard. It's just that it's everywhere. And so Jesus says to these hearers there, He says, you are the salt of the earth. That is who you are. That is your identity. And you, for you and me, we are God's people. We are Christians. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been washed of our sins. We have received the forgiveness of our sins. We have received the gift of eternal life. And we are to know who we are, as Paul said there in the Galatian passage. We are His, and we are Christ. We belong to Him. But does the world see it? Does the world know it? Or is our life contaminated so much that it cannot even be a seen reality in our lives? Well, He goes on. Look with me down at verse 14. Now He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, and neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but to put it on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. So then He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what's the result? What's the purpose of letting our light shine? To glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so we have this great ability in a relationship with God that we are the light of the world. And so salt and light. What does light do? Light reveals. Light sheds the information. It gives us, lets us know what truth is. And God is expressed in His Word, called Himself to be light, to be the source of light. And He is the source of light. Well, if He's the source of light, then how can we be the light of the world? Here's how it works. If God is in you, if Christ is in you, He is working. If He's in you, He is He is in fellowship with you, and we're in fellowship with Him. If Christ is in you, He is working, and He is seeking to conform you and me into his likeness. And he does that by the word of God and by the Spirit of God. And if Christ is in you and he's working in you, and we're on the same page as he is, we're yielded to him, and we're living for his sake and for his glory, then what Christ produces in you and me is seen by others. It's just, we're just like the moon doesn't have any light of its own, but it reflects the light of the sun. So you and I reflect the light of Christ in and through our lives. And so again, we can come back and say in this passage here, as like in the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. We are, that's who we are. That's our identity in Christ. That's our identity as Christians, that we belong to him. And he's alive in us, and if he's alive in you, and if he's alive in me, others are going to see it, and they're going to know it. And there are going to be those people, and maybe you've been around people at the workplace or school or other places like this. Well, you're a goody-goody old two-shoes because you go to church. How many of you, anybody ever been called that or made that reference to? Okay, you know why people feel that way? They feel convicted. We make them uncomfortable. You make them uncomfortable. Now you understand it, don't you? Now you understood it already, I know. Make them uncomfortable. Why? Because their own heart condemns them. Their sin condemns them. And you and I make them feel uncomfortable. Now, didn't we have this discussion two or three Sundays ago? The offense of the gospel. Do we try to tone it down, turn down the light? Oh, if we're shining too bright, we'll be better than other people. And so we have that little conversation. Or we'll take away the saltiness there because it's just too much. And, you know, too much salt's not good for you. Not good for your heart and your blood pressure and all that. You know, all those little analogies that we have there and everything. But that's not so. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And we are to be the one who illumines Christ into a dark world, into a dying race of people. Because people are born in this world lost in their sins. And God wants you and me to know him and to know those things. I want us to bow our heads and I want us to close our eyes this morning. But we're not just going to hurry up and get ready to leave. But just bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment this morning as we come before the Lord. You see, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. But we are also sojourners on this earth, in this world. And in our relationship with God, in our relationship with Christ, we are who we are. And if you know Christ, you cannot help but be salt. You cannot help but be light. And that could be a hard saying. Because you see, it's real easy to put on a facade, to act like a Christian. Well, we know what Christians do. We know what they say. We know how they behave. So we come join the church and we do the same thing. The question is this morning, do you really know him? Do you really have Christ in you, the hope of glory? You see, as citizens of the kingdom, we have a responsibility to be light to a world. We must be visible. We must radiate or give out the light of Christ out of our lives. And the purpose of our light is to glorify our Heavenly Father. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, I just want to ask you this question today. As a Christian, as a child of God, are you the salt that Jesus declares that we are? Are you that light? Do you have impurities in your life that take away from the flavor of Christ
think in a few weeks we may come and go through the Beatitudes, which is a characteristics of the kingdom people, of the Christians. Those Beatitudes. Each one of those Beatitudes begins with the word blessed. You know, that's a very difficult word to translate from the Greek into the English so that we would understand it. But I like what somebody said about that. Blessed. For instance, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed is where God faces you and me and is pleased with what he sees. So I want to ask you this morning, is God pleased with what he sees in you and in your life? And you may be here today, say, you know, I don't know him. I don't know the Lord. I don't know Christ. Well, understand this, that if you believe that Jesus suffered and died in your place, and that God has offered to you the forgiveness of your sins, if you repent, if you come to him in faith, that he will pour out upon you all of his promises, the promise of the forgiveness of sin, the promise of mercy and grace. God promises to give you the gift of eternal life. And all whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today, you say, I know that I know him. And I have received Christ into my heart, into my life. But this thing about salt and light, I have to be honest with God. There's some changes that need to be made in my life. Are you willing to make those changes today? Because that's what the invitation is today. If you don't know him, but you've come to know him. And if you do know him, that you are the salt and the light, as described in the Word of God for us. So in a few moments, we'll stand. We'll have sing in this time of invitation, and I just want you to know the altar is open. In fact, right now, if you need to do business with the Lord in your relationship, just come. While I'm talking, just come and just do business right here at the front and then go back. You say, I don't feel like going to the front. You don't have to come to the front. That's not a requirement. But you know, it's pride that keeps us back. It's pride that draws us back away from a full relationship with him. Father, in this place today, we have read the words of your Son, Jesus Christ. As he spoke and stood before that multitude there on that day. And you have recorded these words even for us today, because the same truth for then is the same truth now. That we are your children, we belong to you if we know Christ. And we are to be salt for your glory. We're to be light for your glory. And Father, today we may be here today, and our light is toned down and our salt is mixed with impurities of this world. Father, I pray that you would not leave us alone until we have come to be right with you in every aspect of our life. Just pray that you'll bless this time of decision, this time of discernment, and this time to make our commitments to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.